Another architectural symbol is that of the three-storied temple. Now, many Tibetan temples are built with three stories. And the three stories represent the three levels of reality. Now, reality can be divided in many ways, it can be stratified in many ways, but one of the most ancient and popular is a threefold one. So this threefold division or stratification of reality is reflected in the three stories of the temple. And these three levels we may call the mundane level, the archetypal level, and the absolute level. And one finds on each story, at each level, an image or figure of the Buddha enshrined. And these three figures, these three images on these three different levels, the ground floor, the first floor, and the second floor, these represent the three kayas of the Buddha, or the three kayas of the enlightened being. Kaya literally means body, but it's more like an aspect, more like an aspect of personality. And these three are the Nirmanakaya, the created body, the Sambhogakaya, the body of mutual enjoyment or glorious body, and the Dharmakaya, the body of reality. So these three kayas or bodies or aspects represent the Buddha nature itself as perceived at different levels of reality. When one perceives the Buddha nature, the Buddha being, if you like, on the level of the mundane, historical reality, then one sees the historical Buddha. If one goes higher, if one goes to the archetypal level, then one sees the same reality more nearly, more truly, as the Sambhogakaya Buddha, a sort of archetypal form. If one goes higher still, then one sees the inner essence of those Buddha bodies, one sees the Dharmakaya, or reality itself, without any form. Now, one finds, as I've said, on these, or at these three different stories, on these three different levels, images of the Buddha representing these three kayas. For instance, if one enters the temple, one enters usually from the ground floor, one finds enshrined in the ground floor temple an image of Shakyamuni. Shakyamuni, that is to say the human historical Buddha, Gautama the Buddha. The Indian prince who lived 500 BC and became enlightened under the Bodhi tree at the age of 35, etc., etc. It's his image, Shakyamuni's image, Gautama the Buddha's image, that you find enshrined on the ground floor. And there he is wearing his monk's robes, with his dark blue curls, with his begging bowl, and so on. And the walls of the temple, that ground floor temple, are covered with frescoes, and there you see depicted incidents and scenes from the life of the historical Buddha. You see him sitting under the Bodhi tree, fighting with Mara, the evil one, preaching his first sermon. You see him passing away, and so on. You also see very often stories from the Jatakas, the legends of his previous lives, his previous existences, on the historical, or at least on the material, plane. So the ground floor represents, as it were, the historical plane. Here we are concerned with the Nirmanakaya. But when we climb up to the first floor, we find it rather different. We're in a different world. We're on a higher level, a higher plane. And here we find enthroned a sort of Dhyani Buddha, a meditation Buddha, an archetypal Buddha, if you like. And he doesn't wear the ordinary monastic robes. He wears princely garments, flowing flowered silks. He wears ornaments, jewellery, gold and silver, and so on. It's a quite different sort of figure. It's something resplendent, something archetypal, something glorified. And on the walls, one doesn't see anything historical, anything human. You find mandalas. You find circles containing the figures of the five Buddhas, perhaps. The five Buddhas being the five principal archetypal Buddha forms. So here on this second story, this first story, you find yourself in the archetypal world, on the archetypal plane, above and beyond the human and the historical. And then you climb up a bit further, you climb up to the second story, the top story, and what do you find here? Here you find what is called the Adi Buddha, the primeval Buddha, the Buddha from the beginning, if you like, the absolute Buddha. And how is he represented? He's not represented wearing monastic robes. He's not represented wearing even princely garments. He's represented without any clothes at all, completely naked, either blue or black or white or dark brown, but in any case, without any clothes at all, because here all veils, all vestures have been removed. This is the level, as it were, of reality itself. And very often you find this Adi Buddha, this primordial Buddha, this absolute Buddha figure, represented in the Yab-Yum position. That is to say, the male and the female Buddhas, or the male Buddha with his female counterpoint in intimate sexual union, representing the fusion, as it were, in the enlightened mind of the wisdom element, represented by the female, and the compassion element, represented by the male. And these one finds only at the top level, the highest story of all. And these particular figures, the Yab-Yum figures, therefore, in Tibetan Buddhism, are regarded as pertaining not to any mundane level, but to the highest and the most spiritual level of all, to the absolute, the level of full reality. And then what does one find on the walls? Well, ideally, according to the best traditions, on the walls you find nothing. The walls are completely bare. There's no representation, no form, no figure, not a leaf, not a flower, just bare. And in the middle, the naked Buddha figure, Yab and Yum. So here one is concerned with, obviously, the level of absolute reality. And in this way, the architecture of the temple itself, with all its images, all its paintings, with all its decorations, with all its symbolism, represents or symbolizes concretely these different levels of reality up through which one must ascend to the truth, the material, the physical, the human, historical, at the bottom, then the archetypal, the ideal, the celestial, and then above all, the ultimate, the real, the absolute.